You're listening to Oodles of Financial Advice with Jeremy Udell. Jeremy is a certified financial planner. He's licensed in Florida to sell insurance. He has Series 7, 24, and 65 securities licenses, and he's here to give you Oodles of Financial Advice.
Welcome back to the podcast. I hope everyone is ready for another delicious bowl of Oodles with me. If you haven't already, I hope you'll check out last week's podcast where I discussed money in the Star Wars universe. Thanks again to my friend David Vizana, who guest hosted with me on that podcast. It was really a blast doing that podcast. It's been really fun both times I've had people on. I hope to start doing that more because it seems to be a lot of fun for me to do, and hopefully you are also getting a real kick out of it. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can always email me, jeremy@wealthenjoyment.com, or shoot me a call, 941-951-0443. Way back in the Dark Ages, when kings and lords and knights ruled the day, if you wanted to acquire massive amounts of wealth, there was pretty much only one way you could accomplish that feat. Inherit it. Hello, everyone. Today, we're getting back to our usual format, and I'm going to explain something to you today that maybe you may or may not be particularly aware of, the estate tax. I started today talking about knights and kings and lords because one of the reasons the estate tax, also colloquially known as the death tax, was created was due to old-fashioned aristocracy. You see, back in those days, if you had land, owned land that your forefathers had conquered, you pretty much just had to be born to inherit it, or at least be firstborn. If you were not firstborn, then you had to hope the person in front of you passed away so that you could inherit it. Otherwise, you might be sent off on battles and could possibly acquire wealth as holdings were acquired by your father or grandfather along the way that might eventually be passed down to you, and you could acquire some sort of minor nobility. But for most people who were not born into the aristocracy, acquiring great wealth was very difficult because most wealth was held in the hands of the people who already had it. And those people continued to pass it down again and again and again to their own family. The only time they lost that wealth was oftentimes when they were conquered by someone else, who would then take that wealth over and pass it down to their family and their family. Someone just working the field somewhere who wanted to put in that extra work to maybe acquire a little more vegetables for themselves and start building that up over time, didn't necessarily have the ability to then take any of the extra resources they generated to invest it into their own future. What does that have to do with an estate tax? In our country, for certain individuals, when they pass away, there may be an extra tax at death. That might not seem completely fair. Why should anyone dying have to worry that after they're gone, their wife or children might have to pay some tax? The main reason was to prevent an aristocracy. Amongst other things, there are lots of good reasons to tax different things. Obviously, we tax income, we tax sales, all to generate revenue, to generate services for our municipalities and our country. But when it came specifically to the estate tax, it did have that extra motive. You see, if we allowed anyone to pass down as much wealth as they possibly could to their heirs for as long as they wanted to, our country, some viewed as in danger of becoming an aristocracy of the wealthy. And when we think about our country right now, there certainly are a lot of very wealthy people and a lot of wealth concentrated in the hands of very few. But when someone like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos pass away, unless they do some really high-end planning, there's a very strong likelihood that they're going to pay some estate tax. Now, for most of you listening, the estate tax is not particularly relevant to you at the moment. There is something called an estate tax exemption that says when you die, if you as an individual currently have less than just under $13 million or less, there's not going to be an estate tax, at least at the federal level. Some states have their own estate taxes. You should look into that. The state of Florida, where I'm located, does not have an estate tax, but many states do. But when it comes to the federal level, if you have less than $13 million, then you're not going to pay an estate tax. If you and your wife combined have less than $26 million combined, you can each use that exemption and never pay any estate tax. Now, that exemption's been a lot lower in the past. It was only recently raised up in the most recent tax law change that was passed by President Trump. But currently, that's where we sit. It may sunset in 2026, that law, but even under that scenario, it's only going to go back to the $5, $6, or $7 million exemption level, which is still a lot higher than it was before 2012. In 2011 and 12, we were looking at possibly no estate tax in 2010 and a much smaller estate tax exemption unless they changed the law in 2011, but they did. And they passed the law and made a $5 million estate tax exemption. Before that, back in the 90s, estate tax exemptions were often less than $1 million per person. Well, that was pretty scary for a lot of people. I, you know, am aware of lots and lots of people who would be subject to the estate tax if it was still at that level. But with inflation and with changes in our underlying dynamics, we have compromised and brought that estate tax exemption up to the point where if a couple has less than $26 million currently, there will be no estate tax. However, if you're someone, as I mentioned earlier, like Bezos or Musk, who are billionaires, and you don't do some massive planning, when you pass away, 40% of your estate above the estate exemption levels will be subject to estate tax. Are there any ways around paying that estate tax? Actually, there are. There are some ways to pass wealth down that avoids estate tax. But the main thing we're trying to do with the estate tax, the main ability it does do is say, okay, if you can't pass down every single dollar you earn during your life to your kids, then some of that money has to go back to the government and be used for other services within the government. Is that the right thing to do? There's a lot of debate about that. Some people argue about the fact that it's not a particularly high revenue amount now, especially with the increased estate exemption levels. It's not generating a lot of revenue for our government. But for the original purpose, or one of the original purposes, which was to help prevent an aristocracy of the wealthy, even at this high estate exemption level, there is some value to help take some of the money away and bring it back to our government, who may be able to use it for other purposes. Although, again, if you don't agree with me, I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out to me directly and let me know why I'm wrong about the estate tax. Most people will never pay an estate tax, at least under current law. And under pretty much any iteration I've seen of future laws, from Democrats or Republicans, less than 10% under almost any circumstances of people will pay any estate taxes, even at the state level, much less at the federal level. But how about those people who will? Who've paid all those taxes over their lifetime, income, capital gains, sales taxes, maybe property taxes, employment taxes, taxes and taxes and taxes, and they worked so hard and they saved so well, why should they have to pay one more tax when they die? Is there anything they can do to avoid it? Yes, there are actually a lot of planning techniques to use, but one in particular I want to focus on today, one that's being used very effectively by a pretty well-known investment guy. That would be Warren Buffett. He's done pretty well for himself with Berkshire Hathaway. Worth right around $100 billion, last I checked. That's not too shabby, right up there with the Elon Musks and Jeff Bezos of the world, doing pretty well for himself. But he's not worried too much about the estate tax, because he's planning on leaving 99% of his net worth to charity. And the government says, for every dollar you leave to charity, that's $1 less we will charge you on estate tax. That's right. If you want to leave everything of your wealth to charity, there will be no estate tax. In fact, you can leave the full estate exemption amount I talked about before of almost $13 million per person to your kids, and then leave every dollar above that to charity and still pay no estate tax. So you can pass on that amount to your family, and as long as you're willing to give every dollar beyond that to charity, you'll pay no estate tax. Now, for someone who's got $100 million or more, again, first of all, that's amazing. But second of all, that's a very significant portion of that wealth that was generated that is now left to charities. That is a pretty big bite, and most people aren't interested in doing that. Yet Warren Buffett is. His philosophy is he's going to leave his kids something. Last I heard, it was something like $10 million per heir, which is not too shabby, really. I wish I was one of his heirs. But then again, I'm sure when compared with the billions of dollars in his name right now, his heirs probably see that as fairly minimal. And he's benefiting all of these organizations instead of them. Why should they get the money? Well, the government says they should get the money because organizations provide services in a more efficient, lower cost environment than the government could. Think about it. If you have an organization whose job, whose purpose is feeding the hungry, oftentimes those organizations get volunteers to come help out to feed the hungry. They have people donating their time and their resources because they believe in that cause. They are willing to take time to plan out the right ways to do it, willing to reach out to those local resources they may know to find inexpensive ways to fund those meals for the homeless. Meanwhile, the government might not have those kinds of abilities. And if a government reached out to a local organization and said, you know, give us your food, the people might reject giving their money and food to the government because they don't trust the government to do a good job with those resources and not waste it. But a great organization that is founded specifically to help the homeless may do better work. Of course, that's true for organizations studying diseases like cancer and heart disease as well. The government funds that type of research, but they see the organization specifically geared towards that research as probably more efficient. And anyone wanting to leave their money to those types of organizations, they're happy to give you that estate tax break to help fund those. They give you an income tax break when you help fund those organizations. The government really believes in the work of these organizations, these charities, these 501c3s, doing the work out there, even ones like arts organizations. The government, yeah, they could sponsor a local symphony in every town, but that would be a pretty unwieldy bureaucratic beast. Whereas a local organization funded to put together a symphony of local people and out-of-town people who just want to make good music for that community, probably better set up to do it than our government. Not always, but often. And interestingly, that is a bipartisan view, that our local organizations just happen to do these types of services better. Are there other ways to get around the estate tax if you're susceptible to it? Yes, there are. There are some very creative planning techniques, some of which use charity as a means to help offset some other plans to leave money to heirs, some of which are completely outside the realm of charitable planning. But no matter what, the estate tax can be planned around. But I thought it was valuable for you to know that, first of all, you can leave, in the current world, almost $26 million if you are a married couple to your family. And secondly, if you want to leave everything above that without any estate tax, you can leave it to those organizations you care about, your church, your school, a local community organization that you care about that is a tax-exempt organization. No estate tax. And it seems like our world is a better place for it. If I were going to be leaving any of my money to organizations, I'd have to say one of the first ones I'd be considering would be the SPCA. I am such an animal lover. I've had dogs since I was born, grew up with a beautiful standard poodle named Dickens. Then we had a Bichon Frise in the second part of my formative years named Pirate. He was such a good boy. Once I went off to college, I didn't have a dog most of the time, but even in my senior year when we lived in a house, the owner of the house who rented the house to his son and myself allowed us to have a dog. And we had a dog named Precious in the house. What a cute girl she was. When I bought my first home in 2006, one of the first things I did was go to the SPCA of Greater Orlando and adopted a lab greyhound mix named Kona. She was with me for 10 years, and she was such a good girl. If you believe in buying dogs directly from breeders, I'm not here to stop you or judge you, but I will tell you there are so many good animals out there if you are looking for one. So many great dogs that need a home. I don't want to get all Sarah McLachlan on you, but I do believe greatly in animal organizations. My sister, some of you may know her, Megan, who is the producer on this podcast. She does amazing things with greyhounds. She just recently adopted her third greyhound from a rescue. The previous two had both been racers. Now, Florida doesn't have dog racing anymore, but she still loves the greyhounds, and she just adopted a beautiful little girl named Stormy after having two wonderful dogs, Norman and Lilu, who have since passed on, but she believes in taking care of these greyhounds, and even though we don't have racing here anymore, that organization can help greyhounds, even internationally. There are greyhounds in Spain called Galgos, as well as greyhounds in Ireland that oftentimes still need homes, and her organization is helping them. Would I leave money to other places? Possibly. There are lots of organizations I care about, but I did want to specifically highlight that one today because I have currently three dogs. I've had up to four at different times. All three of my current dogs are rescues, and I just really believe that people should be aware that these organizations are rescuing great animals out there. And if you're looking for a dog or looking for a great place to leave money to save on taxes, maybe check out your local chapter of your SPCA. That's it for the podcast this week. I want to thank my amazing sister, Megan Udell, she of the Greyhounds, for being a fantastic producer, even through all the time working with her new baby Stormy, beautiful three-year-old black Greyhound. She is still rocking it, producing my podcast. I want to thank everyone at Udell Associates for all of your support with this, as always. If you're interested in finding me other places, I do also have a YouTube channel you can check out, Udell in a Nutshell. Feel free to check out some of my videos there. I also have a book, Retire Happily Ever After. If you're interested in acquiring a copy of that, please reach out to me directly. Listen to the other episodes on this stream. I've got a lot of good stuff going on. I believe this is my 18th episode now, so feel free to check out some of my other episodes there. This is now old enough to vote in podcast episodes anyway, and I do hope you'll check out some of the other things I've got going on. No matter what, please reach out to me with any comments and any thoughts you have on anything I've talked about today or other times. Jeremy@wealthenjoyment.com, 941-951-0443. I look forward to talking to you again soon when I'll have more oodles for your noodle.